In 2 days' going, they rode right up the long lake and passed out into the river running. And now they could all see the lonely mountain towering grim and tall before them. There was no laughter or song or sound of harps. They knew they were drawing near to the desolation of the dragon. They made their first camp on the western side of the great southern spur on a height called Raven Hill. Thorin sent out a scouting expedition to spy out the land where the front gate stood. He chose Balin and Fili and Kili, and with them went Bilbo. They marched under the grey and silent cliffs. There the river, after winding a wide loop over the valley of Dale, turned from the mountain on its road to the lake, flowing swift and noisily.
"There lies all that is left of Dale," said Balin. "It was once a rich and beautiful town."
From the foot of Raven Hill, they could look out and see the dark, cavernous opening of the front gate in a great cliff wall between the arms of the mountain. The only sound was stony water and the harsh croak of a bird. Balin shuddered.
"Let's go back," he said. "We can do no good here. And I don't like those dark birds. They look like spies of evil."
"The dragon is still alive and in the halls under the mountain, then. Or I imagine so from the smoke," said the hobbit.
"I don't doubt you are right," said Balin. "He might be away, or he might be lying out on the mountainside, keeping watch. All the halls within must be filled with his foul reek."
With such gloomy thoughts, followed ever by croaking crows above them, they made their weary way back to the camp. They were alone. None of them had much spirit left. But Mr. Baggins had more than the others. He borrowed Thorin's map and gazed at it, pondering over the runes and the message of the moon letters Elrond had read. It was he that made the dwarves begin the dangerous search of the western slopes for the secret door. If the map was true, somewhere high above the cliff at the valley's head must stand the secret door. Day by day they toiled in parties searching for paths up the mountainside. Day by day they came back to their camp without success. But at last, unexpectedly, they found what they were seeking. Creeping behind a great stone that stood alone like a pillar, Bilbo came on what looked like rough steps going upwards. Silently, clinging to the rocky wall on their right, they went in single file along a ledge, till the wall opened and they turned into a little steep-walled bay, grassy-floored, still and quiet. Its entrance was so small that it looked like a dark crack and no more. It was not a cave, and was open to the sky above, but at its inner end a flat wall rose up, that in the lowest part, close to the ground, was as smooth and upright as mason's work, but without a joint or crevice to be seen. There was no sign of bar or bolt or keyhole, yet they did not doubt it was the door. They beat on it, thrust, pushed, implored it to move, spoke spells of opening, but nothing.
The hobbit was no longer much brighter than the dwarves. He would do nothing but sit with his back to the rock face and stare away west through the opening, over the cliff, over the wide lands, to the black wall of Mirkwood, and to the distances beyond.
A large grey stone lay in the centre of the grass, and he stared moodily at it, or watched the great snails. They seemed to love the little shut-in bay with its walls of cool rock, and there were many of them of huge size crawling slowly and stickily along its sides. All day Bilbo sat gloomily in the grassy bay, gazing at the stone. He had a queer feeling that he was waiting for something. "Perhaps Gandalf will suddenly come back today," he thought. Soon he saw the orange ball of the sun sinking towards the level of his eyes. He went to the opening, and there, pale and faint, was a thin new moon above the rim of earth. At that very moment, he heard a sharp crack behind him. There, on the grey stone in the grass, was an enormous thrush, nearly coal-black, its pale yellow breast freckled with dark spots. Crack! It had caught a snail and was knocking it on the stone. Crack! Crack! Suddenly Bilbo understood. Forgetting all danger, he stood on the ledge and hailed the dwarves, shouting and waving. They came tumbling over the rocks as fast as they could. Quickly, Bilbo explained. They all listened. The sun sank lower and lower. Their hopes fell. It sank into a belt of reddened cloud and disappeared. The dwarves groaned, but still Bilbo stood, almost without moving.
The little moon was dipping to the horizon. Evening was coming on. Then, suddenly, when their hope was lowest, a red ray of the sun escaped like a finger through a rent in the cloud. A gleam of light came straight through the opening into the bay and fell on the smooth rock face. The old thrush, who had been watching from a high perch with beady eyes and head cocked on one side, gave a sudden trill. There was a loud crack. A flake of rock split from the wall and fell. A hole appeared suddenly about 3 feet from the ground. Quickly, trembling lest the chance should fade, the dwarves rushed to the rock and pushed. In vain.
"The key! The key!" cried Bilbo. "Where is Thorin?" "The key that went with the map. Try it now."
Thorin drew the key from its chain. It fitted and it turned. Snap! The gleam went out, the sun sank, the moon was gone. They all pushed together, and slowly a part of the rock wall gave way. Long, straight cracks appeared and widened. A door, 5 feet high and 3 broad, was outlined, and slowly, without a sound, swung inwards. A yawning mouth leading in and down.